My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You want to weigh in on this? You had some pretty passionate feelings that were shared by Killer Cam, as well as
Tom Brokaw,
like CNN, which was very weird, but it happened.
Is that, by the way, real quick before I give my take, I have a healthy confidence in myself, but even I was like, why? Why would I be used in this?
Because you had out here.
You the one.
You got it. You got the glow.
No, but like, why? Why did they decide NBC News, the NBC national news broadcast? Like, gotta get Trista's take on this.
Well, you got to,
because you're entertaining as well. Anybody can say the nuts and bolts.
There's no tie-in whatsoever. There's no need for that. I'm not. Like, I get Killa. I get that. That makes sense to
Killa
me.
Cam.
But NBC does not. That does not make sense to me. Unless it was like local, but it wasn't local. It was like the national broadcast. Weird. Very weird.
Your national evening news with Trista Crick and Tom Brokaw.
I mean, like, what? That's crazy. I think that's a farce, that the Olympics as a whole do not need help with viewership. But in general, the women's game, and I contacted the people who run the U.S. Olympic Committee and talked to them about what the ratings are for the women's game, how NBC sees the women's game. And I talked to Christine Brennan, who had that clip on CNN and wrote that article in USA Today. And I texted her, former colleague of mine. She's been covering the sport for 30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And the press corps is like a ghost town for the women's game. That's how dominant we are, right? It's impossible to get coverage internationally. And it's very tough for NBC to put the women's game, or the men's game for that matter, on NBC itself versus CNBC, MSNBC, on these other like side channels. So they don't really care. NBC doesn't, the international media doesn't, and largely fans do not care about Team USA hoops. Mostly, from what I understand, it comes from the fact that it's a household event, and a lot of times mothers are the ones that are making these viewing decisions, and they don't really care about watching something that they can watch on a day-to-day basis. And so gymnastics, swimming, track and field, those are the sports that really get put to the forefront of the national attention and the spotlight, because there's a limited quantity of opportunity for us to watch that versus basketball, which in this country, it's very common for us to be able to see the best of the best, considering we're so dominant. And we don't really get to see Simone Biles do her thing on that scale and on that stage more than, you know, once every 4 years. So they really do center those sports. And my perspective was, okay, if there's any way that we can get that to those main channels, how do we do that? We create more of a national buzz. And I think even an international buzz, where I think international media, if you can hear a mower, sorry, international media may want to try to get close to Caitlin to get part of that Caitlin Clark buzz and effect for headlines or their own little ratings or the things that they do. And maybe that gets random casuals to try and find, even if it's not on NBC, to try to find that, to see whether she's cooking, whether there's any time there. So I disagree that the women's game doesn't need help with ratings, because the ratings haven't been great. And a lot of times it's hard to find the ratings, because they package the ratings together with other sports. It's very nefarious.
Yeah,
that's not even an opinion. All of this is just fact.
So the women's game, like, this is what I draw from it. The women's game needing help with the ratings or whatever, that can be an argument that you have. The Olympics doesn't care. The Olympics is getting 25 million regardless that they put basketball or gymnastics or swimming on. The Olympics don't need help with the ratings. And I don't care if Caitlin Clark is there or not. If Simone Biles or Sha'Carri Richardson is on, I don't think they're beating them out and moving them to MSNBC so they can put Caitlin Clark on there. So the Olympics, I just never understood that aspect of, you know.
You're right about that. But what about the fact that some of these games are on at really ill-timed times for the United States, right? So sometimes you're getting matchup scheduling at times that we're either like asleep or that are way too early for us to watch. And maybe that gets put into more of a prime time, like we saw in some parts of the World Cup, the Women's World Cup last year. We stunk last year, so last summer. But if we didn't stink, we'd be on at more opportune times for us to want to watch.
But
that's another thing.
But I don't know if they would do that, though. Because to put them on at a more opportune time, that means they'd have to move or not show track and field. Like, track and field and first week swimming, second week track and field, they're always going to get the spot. Like, regard, they're gonna work around those two, and then everybody else get it where you fit in. They're not gonna move Caitlin Clark's game or the Team USA game because Caitlin Clark is there to put it at the same time as track and field.
Not at the same time, but like shoulder programming, right? It doesn't need to be at 3 a.m., right? So I just mean like not at times where we cannot watch. Where I had to wake up when it was in Tokyo, I had to set my alarm to see Kevin Durant play. I think it might have been Slovenia. I literally had, and that was an awesome matchup. And I think it was at 4 a.m.
Hmm.
1 a.m. your time.
Thank you.
Good, stay up.
Just looking, I mean, obviously with Olympics, as you noted there, programming is like the time slots are the most important. But Richard Deitch published these numbers this morning, and when you see numbers like 8 million viewers, 10 million viewers, regardless of the time slots, man, some of these were at night. Like the lowest rated game was the one in Beijing that started in the morning. Like, these are tremendous numbers. But as you said, like, how this all works as it pertains to the Olympics can get a little wonky.
Yeah, they package it with other stuff, which I think is like, I'd like to know exactly what it is, you know.
I remember during the original Dream Team, they would like wrap around, like they would, well, the Dream Team's up by 97 here in the first quarter. Here's a few minutes of archery. Like, and then like, oh man, the archery had these monster ratings. Like, no, I think we were tuning in to see Michael Jordan there.
Yeah, or vice versa. Like Simone Biles doing, you know, this awesome mat performance. Let me just show you 4 minutes of Team USA women's hoops against Japan. They're up 30. And so like the numbers can be very skewed. I saw this though, and I've been feeling that this was coming for weeks from the very beginning, because that's the energy that I have have been intuiting, and I couldn't really put my finger on it that it was the case. And now I had a couple of mentions on TikTok where people stitch a video. And as I came on to you guys right before 5 minutes, so this is very fresh, and I'm like stunned and shocked by this, but also not at the same time. A couple women actually stitched my video about the Caitlin Clark missing out on the Olympic roster. And they said, growing the sport is now, that term is now the new All Lives Matter.
Oh, so they saw a white woman talking about.
But that Caitlin in general, that concept around Caitlin, that is the new symbol. That is the new trope. That is the new dog whistle for All Lives Matter. Said, I knew it. I knew that that was where we were going with this. And that's stunning to me, because there's fairness. And I don't think Caitlin Clark being centered is fair, considering I'm a fan of the game. And I think Jewel Lloyd is much better than Caitlin Clark and much more entertaining. I think Arike Ogunbowale, much more entertaining. The list really, like, I think Courtney Williams is my favorite player to watch in the game. Like, she affects winning in so many damn ways. And she's like my size. I love watching her play. They're more entertaining to me than watching Caitlin Clark. So it's not fair, but from a business perspective, considering that the max salary is $242,000, and that the Liberty Josiah had gotten fined because he wanted to give his players private plane rides to their, you know, destinations to play games, and just how badly the game has been treated. If that's the person that is the impetus or the greatest catalyst, then that is, it is what it is from a business perspective.
Yes and no, though. I mean, no, like, I don't know necessarily, like, when it became about, you know, just the business, right? Like, don't you think that would add to the resentment of Caitlin Clark, of her getting a spot that you can make the argument she doesn't deserve over somebody who's more deserving?
In what way is deserving to be the star?
Deserving to be on, I think she's talented enough to be on the team, right? Like, I think she's a talented enough player to be on the team. But you could make the argument there are more deserving when you talk about putting in the time at the professional level, maybe even just talent right now, just a better basketball player right now. Her getting picked over somebody that's more deserving to be on that team just because people like to watch her play. Don't you think that might add to the resentment?
Oh, absolutely. But
yeah,
I don't think
that's fair.
Why not?
But I don't think that's fair.
Well, because she's not trash.
No, but she doesn't have to be trash. Yeah. Like, there's 12 slots. She could be the 15th best player. Why does she get to go from 15 to 11?
Because I think there's an argument. I think that's what we're talking about. Is like her being on the team isn't egregious. Her being off the team isn't egregious.
Not at all. Not at all.
So I think that's if she was Nemeas Keita and made the team, like, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But she's not, like,
invited to the camp and couldn't go because she took her trash ass team to the Final Four.
If you
twice in a row to the national championship.
If you were just rankings, the 11th best player in the world.
Is Diana Taurasi in the top 12 of all WNBA players right now?
She's better than Caitlin today.
No, we're not talking about whether she's better
than
Caitlin.
Today, she's a better player than Caitlin.
I'm asking you for your argument, which is, is she one of the 12 best players in the sport?
Now she is.
I don't think she is, but that's not how USA. I don't think that she is, but that's not how USA basketball works.
But right now,
exactly.
Right
that's
now,
what I'm saying is, I'm using Kenny's criteria to say that that's not how this goes. Because if that was how it went, Diana would not be on the team. But there's other factors, legacy, six gold medals,
to be fair, there's people. There's people who have a problem with Diana on the team.
There are.
I have a problem.
But that's what I'm saying. People have a problem with Diana.
There's a player on the team who hasn't played a basketball game yet, who hasn't played a basketball game in months. Mm-hmm. There's a player. The thing that really sucks that I hate the most is there is this lethal combination of the Caitlin crew that doesn't actually watch basketball, that they just know that she's a white girl in this world, and they're going to help her navigate it, and Brittany. That is a lethal combination of social media behavior. And
yes,
I mean, and from a basketball perspective, purely basketball, Brittany's not one of the 12 best players in the world anymore.
She is not, but we need bigs. That's kind of the reason. That makes sense. Like, that makes sense to me.
We need bigs to compete with who?
I don't even know who number one is.
Yeah, like, Lauren Jackson's not out there. Like, we're...
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. But again, we're talking... I'm using your line about the 12 best basketball players in the world. That's not what this Olympic team is.
No, it's not. And if Caitlin Clark went to UConn, Caitlin Clark would be on this team.
Well, that's facts. That is 100% accurate. There's no way to... We said this yesterday. The phrase... Such and such who went to UConn was snubbed off this team. That phrase has never been uttered before.
And if you look at CP, DT, and Stewie as rookies, there's a lot of, well, they accomplished more at the college level than Caitlin when they came to the Olympics as rookies. UConn is invalidated from that argument. Because they have 80% of the best players in the college game.
And we might be inching towards South Carolina being next.
I also think the talent pool was different at that point, though.
Yes, sure. But like, UConn's always going to dominate. That's like that. And at that point, definitely was dominating. Mm-hmm. The Tennessee team, if you look at who Candace Parker was playing with, oh my God. Like,
yeah, look at the next year.
Yeah.
Look at the next year.
So then look at Caitlin, and she went to two national titles, took out South Carolina, an undefeated team, and then took out the national champion in LSU. And she didn't have very much talent on that team with her, right? So, like, she beat South Carolina, loses to LSU in the national championship 2 years ago, and then beats LSU the next year, the defending champ, and then faces South Carolina in the championship game. So she's beaten – her team has beaten – the back-to-back national championships in different years, just in opposite years. So I think you could make the case if Diana Taurasi was deserving in her rookie year, if Stewie was deserving in her rookie year, if Candace Parker was deserving in her rookie year, hell, if Christian Laettner was deserving in his rookie year on the Dream Team, and if Anthony Davis was deserving in his rookie year on the Redeem Team, then there's absolutely a case for Caitlin Clark to be deserving.
There's for sure a case. I guess my thing is, I just didn't think this was a big deal.
I didn't think this. Well, I knew it would be a big deal, but it was gonna. But here's the other side of it. It was gonna be a big deal if she didn't make the team, which she didn't, or if she did make it. Because the conversation would be almost exactly the same if she made the team. It would be about Arike or what. One of these players wouldn't be on it.
Yeah.
And it would
be
about
I sent you a video, Damien, yesterday of a video from three, four years ago where I called out that DT made the team over Nesta. I've been fighting the good fight on DT being off the
Well, four years ago, I thought was the swan song for Birdie and Diana. And Diana was just like, no, I'm just going to go again.
Right.
Do it again.
That's what she does. But my thing is, I if she made the team, to me it wouldn't be a big deal. Like, it's whatever. She's on the team. She's a good enough player to be on the team. It's fine. The fact that she didn't make the team, it's not a big deal. Right now it's not her time. She's gonna win 4 gold medals probably. Like, she's gonna be on the Olympic team moving forward almost forever. 3 months after her last college game, her not making the Olympic team, it's okay. 3 months after her last college game, if she would have made the Olympic team, that would be cool too. But I, like you said, Damien, I understand why it's a big deal. I just don't think it's a big deal one way or the other. It's fine. And she probably still going to get on the team. And if Chelsea can't go and she gets on the team, that'll be fine too.
I don't think she'll go. I think she'll say no.
I don't think that'll happen. You don't say no to USA basketball.
Or unless you want to be De'Aaron Fox and never get invited again.
Well, unless you want to be Candace Parker.
Yeah.
Candace Parker was, Geno kept her off of the 2016 team. By that point, she was just like, F you guys. I'm out. Don't call me again. And I can't blame her for that. Like, USA basketball is extremely political. And there's no zero chance that if Caitlin was called, hey, Caitlin, the plane's on the runway. I need you to get here. She's on the way.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think that's your point is correct. And that's the thing that frustrates me is that people are making these arguments like Team USA basketball or Team USA anything is based solely on merit.
Mm-mm.
And isn't an intrinsically highly political, clicky, high school situation.
That's
like
it.
And then you add in the fact that like let's be real, like DT probably Michael Jordan, Caitlin Clark. Like she probably was I'm not saying that she alone was the leader of the cabal.
Stop that
I think if asked, DT's probably like her time will come.
Isaiah Thomas came out with a YouTube video detailing that he did not freeze out Michael Jordan. Did you see that?
From the All-Star game.
Yeah.
From the All-Star game?
He had a video breaking down all the passes. That was
oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The coach of Team USA Women's as well was, they like found her old tweets where she said like team, like the W is more than just one player. So she kind of has some sort of something.
Old tweets from where? From like years ago?
No. Like Caitlin's first game.
Just a week ago.
Just a week ago. Whatever, like a month ago, whatever it was. 3 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks ago.
So Cheryl Reeves tweeted?
Yeah, there's something. There either she liked something, retweeted something, or actually said it herself. I saw it come across my timeline the other day. Look it up.
So here's what I've got 20 minutes into this. The world is conspiring against Caitlin Clark.
Well, Steve.
I don't think so. I don't think it's a conspiracy.
Well, no, because you have Cheryl Reeves and Diana Taurasi right now conspiring against Caitlin Clark.
I think conspiring is too heavy-handed. I think the world is much more nuanced in excluding and including people for things. I don't think it's like some... I don't think this is like some like make phone calls, send emails like web. Conspiracy implies like a web. I think it's a couple of like, you know, like check the temp. And like the temp is cool. So like and then you add in the fact that that there were people who were interviewed that said we took into consideration. We thought her fan base would be upset if she didn't get as many minutes as they wanted her to get. And so that was a part of our decision as well.
Which they would. I mean, that would be a circus. I'm not saying keep her off. I'm just saying like the fact that is something that probably would happen. They won by 50, but Caitlin played 12 minutes. She should have played 25. That's a story.
Cheryl is not very active on Twitter just for the... record, like she's.
Did you see anything?
No,
I saw something.
No, I'm scrolling links. I'm scrolling like no. There's nothing here.
I described it. I don't know.
I'm just listening to the birds. This woman is the coach of the third best team in the entire league. She's the coach of the Olympic team. I don't think she's out here tweeting. It's just my opinion. There's not a lot of tweets here.
No,
not even a lot of like tweets.
I see it right here. Let's see. she said,
birds are active.
She's in a, what are they called? What are they called?
Here it is. Cheryl Reeve tweeted on May 3rd, 2024. because it was Indiana. They did a keep up with the preseason action, Dallas Wings versus the Fever. Let's start this season off right. This is the WNBA. Indiana takes on Dallas for the first preseason matchup of the year. Download the WNBA app for free access to the night's game. Local Wings fans can watch on Bally Sports, blah, blah. Cheryl Reeve goes, all caps. Also in action tonight are the Lynx versus the Sky at 7. Though fans won't be able to watch, Lynx fans can go to the Lynx app to follow along play-by-play, or if you are in market, come to the game as we start the season off right. Hashtag the W is more than one player. Hashtag 12 teams. I'm just saying, bro.
So you know what's funny about that? That's the game they forgot to stream. That was the game they forgot to stream. The courtside, the fan streamed the game that the entire league was watching because it was Angel Reese's first game. And that was the night that Cheryl said, I'm fearful that this league isn't equipped to handle the growth that it's experiencing right now.
Her included.
Has anybody gotten the Wimby effect of the Fever being on national TV yet? Because I don't know, Trista, if you ever felt this way, but by let's see, mid-December, maybe early January, we'd be in here and we'd be like, oh, what games are on? On ESPN, Spurs, Lakers. I don't want to see this anymore. This team is garbage. That's how we felt about Wimby. Like, yes, Wimby's cool. He's going to have his time. I'm sick of seeing these sorry-ass Spurs on national TV all the time. Have we gotten to that point with the Fever yet?
I mean, we're pretty close. I think also, really quick, not to go back to what blew up. I don't know why it blew up, but I tweeted last night that Christy Sides benched Caitlin midway through the third quarter. And at what point do we ask whether she's the right coach for this team? And that thing got, fam, like 300,000 views. Like, why?
Did she get benched?
Christy Sides, not.
I didn't take it that way. Did she actually get benched? I thought like they were down by like 40.
Yeah, they were down close to 40.
And
it was like 20, and she didn't bring her back in. She had like 4 fouls, and it was like 4 minutes left in the third, or maybe it was 4 minutes into the third.
Maybe that's when the 20-point lead went to 40, and she was like, dude, forget it. But the gist of what you just asked is fair. She is not a very good coach.
Yeah, and I think, like, the rotations are weird. She's giving DNPs to players that were getting, like, 20 minutes a couple of weeks ago and actually putting up numbers. And the people are like, Caitlin Clark should have been benched. Like, she had a bad game. She had more turnovers than anybody else on her team. Like, why wouldn't she be benched? And that is insane to me. And the Fever are a bad team. We should not have them on national television. Absolutely. But the discourse that, like, we need to be playing through Aaliyah Boston, because that's how the W has always functioned. We play through our bigs. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't enjoy watching the Fever get their ass kicked every night. But if Caitlin fans are tuning in to see Caitlin and they're getting introduced to the Connecticut Sun or to the Dallas Wings or to Cameron Brink and the Los Angeles Sparks or whoever, then yeah, that's good.
It's just all too extreme for me. Like, I enjoy watching Caitlin Clark play basketball, and there's nothing more to that. I don't think she's the greatest. I don't think she's this terrible rookie. I don't think people are doing something to her. I don't think that she's, you know, a damsel in distress. Like, it's just, she's tough. She's a hooper. She's out there playing. She's a rookie. Her team stinks. That's all there is to it. And I'm just watching her rookie year. That's all it is. I'm watching her rookie year. I'm watching Angel's rookie year. I'm watching the Aces and what they're doing. If they can get a three-peat, I'm just watching the league. But everything is just all so extreme And it's like
the Aces are in trouble right now. They are are not playing good basketball right now.
They are not.
I don't think they played that last game either, huh?
Was that the Sparks game? One? Yeah. I don't think she did.
Yeah.
I don't think she did. I think she's sick. That COVID is beating the hell out of
it's
people
back,
right now.
Baby. It's back. COVID's back. Man. I know somebody. You had COVID. That was
it.
Yeah,
didn't
you
leave. COVID never left.
Back with a vengeance, though.
Oh, yeah. No, it's beating people's asses right now.
That's what I mean by back. You know what I mean? Like, it was latent and dormant and doing its thing. And now it's hitting homers, you know?
Man.
Now it's that Aaron Judge, like, home run leader.
Aaron Judge is hitting bombs. My gosh. That one he hit on Sunday night was crazy. I didn't even get a chance to ask Trista about Dan Hurley.
I was listening
to the heat check, and it was popping off. And
well, you don't exactly look like you're rushing off to work, so yeah, we can kick it. We can talk Dan Hurley. What commercial?
What commercial? What do you want to know? Like, because it's just a word. That's just a name. I'm super excited. I can go anywhere.
I know, just where do you want to start with Dan Hurley? Go.
Damn, that was very greeny of you right there. That was very greeny of you.
Is there a more...
Hey, come on. We lost... Trista recognized her unfortunate... That's fine. No, everybody regroup. It's a professional radio show right here.
That was inadvertent. That doesn't
yep.
get.
No, I got you.
There's no whistle. That was, you know, when they say, "Oh, scratch that inadvertent contact."
No, that's
like,
fine.
You know, incidental.
Oh man.
Is there a more delicious, like Venn diagram than the Lakers getting screwed over and looking terrible? And then, like, the behind-the-scenes of the media beef that occurs on a day-to-day basis. And then, like, this storied legacy that's starting and, like, bubbling up. And, like, this the college game changing and evolving and people saying it's dying. And like everything that Dan Hurley is, it's just all very delicious to me. This is like perfect for me.
This is great.
If Dan Hurley would have gone to the Lakers, I would have been in mourning. I would have been in mourning, honestly.
I don't think he ever like
Kenny thinks it was a work.
Well, I don't know if it was a work, but I think he always knew what he wanted to do, which was stay in UConn. I think he did his due diligence and had like conversations with the Lakers, because I think the NBA intrigues them. I think the Lakers job intrigued them and all this other stuff. But I never thought we got to the point where Dan Hurley was like, I think I'm gonna do this. And then he like went back on the UConn side. I don't think he ever really, as long as UConn showed him enough love, I think he was always gonna stay.
Jeff Goodridge's mind, but I don't think that's real. I think a lot of this is a work as well. Because logically, it feels like a perfect opportunity for multiple parties to find a way to get what they want. I think with Woj saw an opportunity to dunk on Shams and to make Shams look like he didn't know what he was doing. Because behind the scenes, when you've been reporting that J.J. Redick was the lead candidate for weeks now, for quote-unquote weeks now, they've been targeting Dan Hurley, and you didn't know that because you're the slappy. And I'm the one on the inside knowing what's going on. And then the Lakers saw an opportunity to maybe get Rob Pelinka loves nothing more than to win the PR headline day. Like, that's what he loves. He doesn't care if it's substantive or not. That Russell Westbrook trade was going to happen, whether it made sense or not. Because it was flashy, and it dominated draft day.
R.I.P. Kuzma to the Kings.
Oh, damn.
R.I.P. And nothing's more flashy than hiring a big-time college coach that already turned down Kentucky and as back-to-back national titles. And, like, would shock the world and look like they were very thorough and buttoned up and very secretive, and they have no leaks in their organization, which we know they do. And then Dan Hurley saw it as an opportunity to finally get paid fairly for his services. And you can't say no to an MBA opportunity, at least to evaluate it, because then it looks like you're not interested in the MBA. And I knew he was not going to take the job outside of the fact that the job made no sense. I said that immediately. This makes no sense for him. I know more about Dan Hurley than maybe any other coach in the league. All I do is watch Dan Hurley clips. I love him so much.
That is an amazing sentence.
He has made me $5,000 or more this year.
Now it makes sense.
That's how much I love Dan Hurley. And I'm already in on Dan Hurley 3-peat. I've been talking about that for months. So it didn't make sense. Like, everything that Dan Hurley does and how he goes around and does his process to evaluate talent and bring in talent and how he coaches and like he says, like, one player can be a cancer to an organization. There's plenty of cancers in the Lakers right now. Yeah. Including those in the front office like Linda Rampus. So that was never made sense. But when he told Woj, he was impressed and compelled with the vision presented to him, I knew it was a work. No chance. I knew that was a line to be like, I am really truly considering this, UConn. You better step up to the plate. I am thinking about going. Wooden, three-peat aside, this is the L.A. Lakers, and they have given me a compelling vision, and I am impressed.
I agree with Tristan. I don't think he ever really.
So he was using Woj.
I don't know Woj, about that. I don't know about.
I think Woj called Dan and was like, "Hey, I've got a perfect opportunity for you to get paid." Lakers.
Oh, this is a high level conspiracy that you're spitting out here right now.
From what I understand, Woj and Dan are like this.
Believe that is correct.
And he wrote the book on St. Anthony's, and they've been thick as thieves. When Dan Hurley did his extension, Woj is the one that broke it, even though he does not cover the college game. Shams puts out that tweet, and I think Woj is seething. I think he's saying, J.J. Redick, that was not supposed to get out. We've been kind of chattering about it, but Shams quote tweets it. Maybe reports it. Maybe they're talking about other things, and he's like, would you ever be interested in the Lakers? Because, like, I think the Lakers would be interested in you. How much do you think they'd pay? I don't know, but it's more than $5 million. And you have stalled out on your extension talks. Maybe this could be an opportunity for either you to get an egregious level of money, $100 million, which you probably can't say no to, and Andrea would be fine with saying goodbye to the East Coast temporarily for, and if it doesn't work out, you still get your $100 million. And worst case, you go to L.A.
Andrea
for a couple of days.
Andrea's his wife, by the way. She Andrea's just kind of threw that right. Yeah, that's his wife.
Andrea, what a gangster. I sat next to her at the Phil Knight Invitational. She is just, she's awesome. And that's when I fell in love with UConn, actually, in Portland. And I think he's like, worst case, you go to L.A. for a couple days. You say you're biding, you're taking your time to evaluate this. You go back to UConn and get something close to the offer that they give you. Win, win, win.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Is very Vince McMahon. Like, this is a WrestleMania level work right here.
It is. It is. There are some things in there that I was like, I don't know. Feels a little Power-ish. You know, like I'm watching an episode of Power just a little bit. But when you combine the fact that I just a feeling, I'm not connected like Trista, but I just don't really think Dan Hurley ever really was going to go to the Lakers. That's just the feeling I get. You combine that with the Woj Shams situation. Trista says something that was very interesting. And this leads to what we were talking about earlier. I think it has been going around circles that the Lakers wanted J.J. Redick. Whoever's telling, I don't know. But, like, some people are getting some sources that J.J.'s been the one the whole time. But nobody was supposed to say anything. And then Shams said something, and it pissed Woj off. I think Woj was hearing the same thing, and Shams actually like went and talked about it. And then that's where we kind of get into the power aspect of the theory, because you know it does take some turns. But I see Trista.
I got another turn for you.
I see Trista cooking
that we haven't talked about yet. I got another turn for you. Your boy, her boy, your boy, cousin Shams. He's in a contract year.
So he needed.
Yeah, no, I knew that. Actually, I knew that. He told me his deal is up when my deal is up in September.
Of course, he told you that. Like, we're finding out through other people. But yeah, why don't you just call Shams and get the scoop on what exactly is going on here? That's your boy.
Well, somebody close to Shams and another person close to the Lakers.
Leave Kate out of this.
Immediately when I put out my first Dan Hurley video, like that the Lakers fumbled the bag, they were like, listen, it's deeper than that. And they kind of set the groundwork for the behind the scenes. So this is not just, I don't know if this is fact, but this isn't well sourced, but this is double sourced. That is the notion. And then you have Shams come out and say on Pat McAfee today and on Get Up, which like, why is Shams on ESPN, by the way? When Woj
Wait, Shams was on ESPN?
He was on Pat McAfee. I do remember that. Yeah. I didn't
see that. He was on ESPN today. Anyhow, saying, I don't think that the Dan Hurley deal was ever real, and I don't think there was any amount of money that he was ever going to take to go to the Lakers.
Shams is crazy. Yo, Shams is crazy.
Can I tell you?
Shams is a fool. Hey, he's crazy for that one. I didn't hear that. He's crazy for that one.
Yo, can I tell you how furious I would be if I was Adrian Wojnarowski and you put him on my network to say that?
Oh, man.
Oh, I'd be furious.
Oh, Shams is wild for that.
Especially this tweet is how I knew he was trying to cover his tracks, dog. Hold on. Let me read it really fast.
Shams or Woj?
Woj. Sorry. When I read this, I was like, okay, hold up.
Is it the interview joint?
No, it says, as swept away as Hurley became by the Lakers' courtship.
That does not sound good.
For him, he ultimately couldn't walk away from a chance to make history and pursue a third straight NCAA title. Even before the Lakers talks, Hurley already had a UConn offer to become one of the highest paid coaches in the NCAA, and those talks will continue per sources.
That swept away is crazy.
Swept away.
Swept away is crazy. I couldn't get past that.
Come on. The commentating in the reporting is what gives you away, Mike G.
Job said, there was never an offer.
He was never taking any amount of money that the Lakers were going to offer. And he followed up by saying he was never their number one choice.
He's living on that hill. Okay, let me tell you this, Trista. Both of you guys are more connected than me. I'm just out here just thinking, right?
D'Lo and KC are connected.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm still not on Damian level. I mean, this guy goes to Lifetime Fitness. I don't. But
Lifetime Fitness like $79 a month?
It's $215, and no, that is not where I work out.
But how do you know what Lifetime Fitness is per month?
We looked it up yesterday because Steph Curry was working out at the Lifetime Fitness in Folsom. This is what happens when you don't provide context to people. This is what happens when you talk the way that you do. Like, people think that this stuff is real. This show is a work.
I went to Lifetime Fitness at 22, though, like in Scottsdale, Arizona, and it was like $119 a month.
Yeah, they didn't move on up. But
well, I think that must be like the platinum package in the Bay Area. Yay, area.
Fam, we are not in the Bay Area. Yeah, we're in Sacramento, and he was in Folsom.
Oh, so Steph was at the Lifetime in Sacramento?
On Saturday evening, just randomly.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Has it ever been? What was he doing?
Somebody said Kim Bazemore lives out here. And he was visiting Kim Bazemore.
Okay, that's
but I'm still not sure if that's what. Does Kent Bazemore live in Sacramento? Don't answer that. Don't worry about it.
didn't we see Kent Bazemore getting popcorn or something?
Yeah, he was at the Kings games often.
Yes,
yeah,
he was at the playoff games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were together. I was thinking he was really funny with us too. Yeah. It was great. Yeah, in the elevator. Remember they were tripping in the elevator?
The elevator Nazi that was there. Yeah.
That's what it was.
That was the scaredest I've ever been at the Golden One Center. This woman was serious about that elevator.
Oh man. But Tristan, my thought and my theory is JJ outpriced himself. I feel like they had talks, the informal, whatever. If you want to say it's the first meeting, whatever. I think they talked, and I feel JJ outpriced himself.
And this is where Kenny loses me.
And the Lakers were like, we're spending that money. Let's go see if we can get Dan Hurley.
I think they didn't want to wait for JJ. If it's a 7-game series in the finals, you're up against it. Mm. If he can't even come to a handshake agreement with you and you're right up against the NBA draft and free agency, what are we doing here? So I think once there was an opportunity, which literally was 5 days ago, not many weeks ago, to maybe get Dan Hurley, then they were like, F it, let's try at least and say that we've been doing a thorough search. I don't know how thorough a podcaster, a college coach, and James Borrego are, but hey, like you do you, baby. And also, like, I just feel we're not talking enough. I think I may be the only one that thinks this is absolutely wild. We're not talking enough about the fact that Linda Rambis has the most power within the LA Lakers organization of anyone.
That's genius.
I don't
girl.
Know. Linda Rambis.
That's Jeannie's version of Justine. That's
Kurt Rambis' wife, former Laker girl, who was like Jeannie Buss's sidekick in the 70s and was married to Kurt, is now running the Lakers. And her relationship with Rob Pelinka is keeping Rob Pelinka employed. What are we doing?
You know, you mentioned something, Tristan, on the heat check. The Lakers,
I mean, at some point we do have to go to commercial.
Oh, it's 43.
So either we need to extend the segment, or we do have to go. There's nowhere else to put this commercial.
Tell me at break.
All right. Well, it's Dylan with Casey on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, if y'all want to come out, man, we'll be at Concerts in the Park coming up on Friday.
Yeah, man.
It's a free show. Pull up.
Yeah, man. The Friday, Cesar Chavez Park.
And then?
It's going to be warm, but it ain't going to be too hot. So, yeah, come on out. Check out some good live music.
Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, we'll be in Oak Park.
That's right, man. Shout out Oak Park for their for St. Hope's Juneteenth celebration. When that starts at 5, I think?
I believe start time is 5. That might be 4.
Yeah, it might be just 4 o'clock. Just get there at 4 o'clock. It's going to be good time, man.
Get there early. I'm just debating on whether I go to Fixin's before or after.
Might as well make it after.
Because there's no point in being that close to Fixin's and not going. Like that'd be ridiculous.
That would be asinine.
Yeah, it would be. So you at least get
some. Yeah, check us out. We and if anybody's going to Janet Jackson tonight, we'll be in the building.
Yeah, can pull up. We'll be outside of the building too. Mm-hmm. Kenny refuses to go inside but Nelly gets off the
stage.
That's
not true. So Nelly might be listening to the show right now and hear that nonsense. And Nelly, if you are. I got love for Nelly, man. I just don't like the country song. And I don't like Ride With Me. But other than that, it's fine. I'll be hyped. I know all the words.
E.I.?
That's my favorite song.
E.I.'s your favorite?
Yeah, it might
over
be,
Country Grammar?
It's a tie.
Okay.
E.I.'s, that's the one.
Yeah, so we'll be at Janet Jackson tonight following the KSFM show. We'll be out at the KSFM 10 if you want to pull up. It will be hot tonight. Thus, while I'm dressed the way that I am, it'll be 4 buttons down the second we step outside.
Damian Jefferson.
Man, this shirt getting unbuttoned so far, it might embarrass Richard Jefferson. I told the insiders, it's so hot, you might see my belly button out there.
Oh, man.
Ramsey. This is a bad transition to Ramsey. He's going to be super serious. 916-909-1320. What's up, Ramsey?
And is he my damn self in these 100-degree weather and counting? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, I just want to get back to talk about the WNBA real quick. I know you saw it. How Queen Dejanay Carrington took Caitlin Clark's cornbread at the end of the first half last night.
Oh, that was tough.
Dejanay's, man. That's tough. Tough. The whole rookie year.
Yeah,
I mean, since they've played 9 times.
Yeah.
It's been an issue. Yeah, she's one of the premier defenders.
She might be defensive player of the year right now.
Yeah, that's what she does.
Just touched the ball, took it, laid it up, beat the buzzer, and Caitlin was just stuck.
Yeah, nothing you could do about that. Just go back, inbound the ball, and keep it moving. Just go back, inbound the ball, keep it moving. Yeah, that was a hell of a play. It's one of those tough ones, too, where it's like, it's embarrassing. Because
it's in the open.
It's just right there, and there's nothing there but space and opportunity.
That's all you can do. They had another side plot to this is one of my favorite side plots in the league. Dejanay and her ex were talking after the game, and they were right behind whoever was getting the post game interview.
So they're
talking and having this back and forth. And it's just in the background, and nobody is even paying attention to what the post game interview is saying.
If you can get
to decipher what's going on,
if you can get connected to the relationship drama in the league, boy, that like you can find all sorts of subplots throughout games and teams and all that. Like we were talking about DeWanna yesterday, didn't DeWanna Bonner go to Connecticut because that's where her wife is
I didn't know
like years ago. Yeah. Like she left Phoenix because she's like, no, I'm gonna go play with my girl. And I think at the time it was her girl. They got married. They've been together since.
She got married like a year ago, right?
I don't know. It feels like it was a little longer than that.
Well, yeah, they got the video of that. The cameraman changes the angle so we can get so we can get what's going on. They're talking about stuff. It is pretty funny. I don't know if it's an argument or a friendly conversation. I can't tell. I'm watching it again right now. Oh, man. Yeah, W's having a hell of a year. W's having a hell of a year.
Did Candace go to... Oh, maybe I made that whole thing up. Why the hell did she go to Connecticut then? Maybe because Candace retired. Maybe that's what it was. She's with Candace Dupree. I think she's still with Candace Dupree. Hopefully they are.
Happy birthday, Diana Taurasi. 42 years old.
Man.
Today.
All right, DT. Go. Oh, happy anniversary to the time Vince McMahon blew up in a limousine. It's the 17th anniversary of Vince blowing up in a limousine.
Oh, man. There was another on this day wrestling anniversary.
On this day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was, though. I saw it earlier. And I was going to pull it back up, but no, it's not coming up. But yeah, maybe that was it. I don't think it was, but I think there was something else that happened.
That limo blowing up is comedy.
Man.
Just comedy.
He gets in there.
Looks around. Door kind of stays open. Foot goes inside and boom.
Oh, man. Oh, look, where is it at? It was,
Well, I'll give you time to look for it because I actually think we have to go to commercial.
We don't have to go to commercial.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.